Well, good afternoon, boys and girls. Actually, we mourn the passing of Charlie Evers last year, a legend in Marion Radio. And normally we do have highlights of his program this hour, but Adam here, so excited about my in-studio guest. We're going to go ahead and get started a little bit earlier than we normally do. So we'll call this the pre-Adam the Computer Guy mid-afternoon, now it's actually early afternoon, coffee break, radio extravaganza. How's that for a mouthful? And next Thursday, again, we will feature the best of the late Marion radio legend Charlie Evers between about 1:13 p.m. and 2 p.m. In the studio with me is a guest that we've had on a couple months ago. He's been on with Scott and a few others. A bright young rising star in the political arena. It's Mr. Kai Mead, a council member from, I believe, the 4th District. 1st District. We're the 4th District. Okay. See, I was never really good at trying to keep track of that, but that's one thing Kai's going to do, is actually explain about the districts and how we do, how the city council in Marion runs, other members of city council, and how it compares to cities of a similar size. Again, Kai Mead from the 1st City Council District here in Marion. Gentleman with a great interest in his community, who has done so much and will do a lot more. When we were on with him a few weeks ago, he discussed the small business event, which we'll kind of recap during this show. He gets out in the community, he does cleanups, makes our city beautifuler, I think that's a word, and again, is always available to answer questions or concerns that you may have. So let's make sure that the intern properly turned the microphone gadgets up. We call them pots, that's what we call them, to see if the microphone works. Go ahead, Kai, you're there.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, one more sentence from you, please.
I'm glad to be on.
Perfect. That's how we like it. A little closer to the microphone, that's even better. Perfect. We want to make sure everybody can hear your dulcet tones as we discuss the goings-on here in the great city of Marion on this special early edition of the Adam the Computer Guy radio program. We should be here till about 2:30. Now, we are taking your telephone calls, questions, comments, concerns, complaints, or you just want to say hi. You know, hi, Kai, that kind of sounds good. Hope you're staying dry. There you go, there's a rhyme for you. 740-383-9944, 740-383-WWGH. Also, I'm broadcasting a live video on Facebook. I want to say hi to Marcus, who is watching the video from the capital city. Again, go to my Facebook page at Adam the Computer Guy, or Adam Lepp in Ohio, and you will see me all decked out in the radio studio in front of the microphone wearing the proverbial headphones. So again, Kai Mead, a councilman here in Marion, joining me in the studio. Again, taking your questions, 740-383-9944. Feel free to call with any issues you'd like to speak about, or you can also leave a message on my Facebook Live video. Many ways to get in touch with us here in the modern era of 2021. So, Kai, how do you like the weather today? We've had 90-plus degrees, and it rained, and it was cooler. And today it kind of started out warm and humid, then it rained, and now it's, well, we have a lot of drapes here, but I think it's kind of like hazy now. It looks like we may get a little more rain. So do you enjoy this changeable weather here in mid-Ohio?
I like it sunny. I like it right around 80 degrees. I think that's how most people feel about it. Anytime you get like these storms, you can't really do it. You can't really do anything outside, and I think that's what summer's for. So I'm not a fan of the rain.
So you're not an umbrella enthusiast.
No.
You like it to be 80, not too hot, and enough just to. You recently became a father, I believe.
Yep. May 12th.
May 12th.
Yep.
So your child is a little under. Well, not by the year, but birthday about 3 weeks before mine.
Yep.
So as a new parent, about an 8-week-old you have?
Yep, just about.
What's it like being a dad?
It's very interesting. I think we lucked out because our baby is, he's not a big crier. His name's Nolan. He sleeps well at night, and so I think we're very blessed and very grateful that, and well, I guess knock on wood, that he's just been he's just been so easy to care for so far.
So far, so good. You know, you got the terrible twos. That's not 2 months, it's 2 years, so we'll find out. Now, do you think, you know, you started out, because you're in your mid-20s, early 20s, I believe.
Yep, 23.
20, my goodness, I was 23 once. my socks are, I think, 23 years old. Well, anyway, do you think your child has aspirations to be a young politician like his dad?
We'll have to see what he's interested in. You know, it just depends on what he wants to do. I think that, you know, whatever he ends up wanting to do, we'll support him. But I don't know. I really liked the fact that when I got involved, there wasn't that family name to run off of. And so, you know, I kind of hope that he finds his own thing to do. But, you know, whatever he chooses, I'll support.
Sounds good. Yeah, so you're not like the Bushes or one of the kind of political dynasties we have in this country.
No, I
kind of came in fresh, and that's good. Sometimes you need that.
Yeah, I didn't have a parent or like an uncle to say like, oh, this is my son or this is my nephew or anything like that. I think that it's better that way. I think you get a true fresh start with voters that way, and I think that you really get the most honest conversation with people. In that circumstance.
Yeah, you're not quite sure what to expect. Now, sometimes a person may not have the same political beliefs as another family member. You know, the Roosevelts aren't a great example because even they had the same last name, they were just distantly related. But Theodore Roosevelt being an old school, middle of the road Republican, and FDR being fairly liberal, but again, he came in at a time when the country had some pretty serious problems. But again, they were not related closely, so despite the close last name. And we've had other presidents where obviously they followed in a father or grandfather's footsteps. Most recently, of course, the Bushes. And that's a case where the Bushes were pretty similar politically. I'd say W might be a little to the right of his father. And, you know, Jeb kind of also more in the middle of the road, the other members of the family. So you never quite know. So that's where you came in, Kai, and people didn't know what to expect.
Yep. My family tends to be pretty moderate, I would say. I think the letter changes depending on who you're talking to, but I think we pretty much have the same beliefs. And I think that's pretty much true of our community in general. I mean, we grew up with about 90% of the same experiences. So regardless if you have that D or the R or the I next to your name, we pretty much have a lot of similar beliefs, I think, in the community.
Speaking with Kai Mead, the 1st District, got it right that time, councilman here in the city of Marion, taking your questions, 740-383-WWGH on the Adam the Computer Guy early afternoon coffee break radio extravaganza on this Thursday, 7/8/21, where I'd say it's raining, but I might look out the window and the sun's out, so got kind of three seasons in one day today just to keep things fun, but that's what we like about the great Midwestern climate. Now, before we got on the air, Kai, we were kind of talking about the districting of council people in Marion. Columbus has all at-large council people, which is unlike a lot of large cities. But Marion has the more traditional wards, and they have 3 at-large and 6 wards. We're in number 4. You are in number 1. Just tell us a little bit about your fellow people on city council, the other 5 wards, as well as the at-large council people.
Yeah, I'll just fire them off real quick. There's me in the 1st ward. In 2nd ward, you have Ayers Ratliff. 3rd ward, you have Jason Schauber. 4th ward, there's Josh Feliciano. 5th ward is Karen Fosnaugh. 6th ward is Kathy Swanger. And then for at-larges, we have Mike Neff, Josh Daniels, and then Mike Thomas. I think I prefer the ward system better, because I think that in that case you have people that are held to, you know, to represent specific portions of the city. And with the at-large systems, or in a system where you only have at-larges, then I think that you might see council members trying to focus on only specific areas of the community. And I think that, you know, when you have a specific ward, like when I represent Fair Park and Jefferson and Presidential Row, I'm specifically focused on getting resources to them because I represent them. And I think that if you have council members that feel the same way for their specific wards, you get the best results.
And it's a bit like the U.S. Congress, where you represent your area but we're all on the same team. We're all Americans.
Yeah.
And your summit, I would think, would help out in another district, not a case where, okay, well, your house is on district number two or whichever, so you have to call this person. I see you as someone who just, you're on the same team, and you'll do what you can to help.
Yep, Democrat or Republican, I will help help anyone trying to help out the city. A good example of that is the community cleanups that we started in the first ward. We did a few of them in the first ward, but then as you, if you follow on Facebook, the City of Marion Love Our Neighborhoods page, we are all over the city right now, and I help out as much as I can with those, regardless of if a Dem represents them or a Republican represents them. I think at the end of the day, our council members have to always have the best interest of the city first.
Yeah, sometimes with these political jurisdictions, you kind of forget if there's a D, an R, or an I, or whatever after the person's name. And you would agree with me that it is important if you're president or a senator, and you know, and a governor. We all know that DeWine is a Republican, and some people have said, well, he's a rhino. To me, he's not. I still see him as fairly conservative. But if people don't like how you stand or what your action is on a certain issue, they might call you a rhino or a dino. That is in name only, but especially in a smaller city, the political party really is not as much of an issue. We want jobs, we want crime down, we want the city to be clean, we want good service, we want good garbage collection, recycling, roads. As I talked about on the last show, Marion is the largest city I've ever seen without any parking meters, or at least no parking meters in the usual places, which is great. It makes it a city that's friendly, whether you drive, take a bike, skateboard, or walk. I've walked downtown from the studio many times. It's easy, 10 minutes, very beautiful old houses, very scenic. The sidewalks could be a little bit better, but in general, I think Marion is friendly to pedestrians and to driving. The new angled parking downtown and the one-way streets, everybody's going to have an opinion. It's a controversial issue for sure, but in that matrix, Kai, there just is no Democrat or Republican differentiation. To me, it's you're all citizens, visitors, people that do business in this area, and that's where you're on the same team and where it is all important. And I think the higher up you go in the U.S. government, that's where the Republican versus Democrat becomes more important.
Yeah, I think when you get to Congress, you do start to have legitimate policy differences and goals. But on a local level, there's not a Democrat or Republican that doesn't want to improve sidewalks or improve our streets or fix the sewers or anything like that. I mean, if you have a Democrat saying that about a Republican, they're just not being honest, or vice versa, if a Republican saying about a Democrat. It's really just about making it happen at the end of the day.
And we have that, and that's a problem in this country, is a divisiveness. And that's kind of refreshing here. I couldn't even tell you I know you and Josh Daniels are Democrats, but you're very, very moderate Democrats.
Yeah,
I would say very different from some of the people we might think of as well-known Democrats in the United States in congressional government.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's important for us to be focused on kitchen table issues, you know, things that actually affect people's day-to-day lives, from good-paying, and this isn't even as much of a council issue, but from good-paying jobs to, critical infrastructure, things like that. I think those are the things that affect voters' day-to-day lives, and that's the things that we really need to focus on. We should spend less time deciding on how people should protect themselves or defend their home, and more time about how they put food on their table.
Speaking with Kai Mead, a local politician here in Marion. He is the council person for District Number 1 of Marion City Council. Here on the Adam the Computer Guy early afternoon coffee break radio extravaganza of broadcasting excellence. Taking your telephone calls at 740-383-WWGH. If you want to ask Kai a question, even if you're not in his district, that's okay. He would love to hear from you. He is a proactive person who gets out in the community and wants to hear from people, even if what you have to say may not be on the positive side. Because we're on the same team, we want Marion to prosper. But as you said, Kai, I don't know anybody who's against cutting crime, working on the drug problem, good roads, reliable trash pickup. And that's where you are on the same team in city government.
Yep. I have a constant line of communication with the chief of police, with members of the fire department, just to see what they need and what can council do to help. And I think that's not a Dem or Republican thing. That's just really about how invested you want to be as an elected official. There's some Republicans who are super invested, and there's some Democrats who are super invested. I think it's at the end of the day, with city council, what it really comes down to is effort.
We talked earlier, we have a new police, relatively new police chief and relatively new sheriff, and you give both of them A+, I believe, Jay McDonald and Matt Bales.
Yeah.
They're both outstanding.
Yeah, I think they're doing a great job. I think they're doing a good job of getting out into the community, and I think that, they're going to continue to build on the accomplishments that they've gotten done so far, and I'm especially excited to work with Jay to just, help people out in the neighborhood.
We probably would agree that the most important thing in a city that you get from government, from your tax dollars, is security and protection, police and fire and ambulance, and which means Jay McDonald certainly is a VIP. He is important, and he seems rather proactive.
Yeah.
And it's good to have a relationship with city council, because you read there are places where the police and the city council and the mayor don't get along, and that's not a problem here, and that's something we really need to look at it as an advantage of doing business in Marion. Even just driving through, that you're safe.
Yep, every moment that we spend butting heads with people is a moment where we aren't benefiting Marion. So I think it's important to have those good relationships with all our elected officials, and some not elected, like the chief of police, just so we can continue to better Marion. One of the things that I started doing was providing weekly updates on a specific policy topic, and the one that I did yesterday actually was about getting resources to our first responders. And one of the things that I mentioned is I think that it's so important for community relations and just getting good results that we have, for one, a good line of communication with our police department, and for two, we get them the resources, whether it be bulletproof vests, whether it be new cruisers, just so that we aren't getting in the way, so that we're letting them do their jobs and do it well and build that community connection.
Speaking with Kai Mead here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program, taking your telephone calls, 740-383 WWGH. If you had a question or comment about city government or about Marion in general, this is your chance. We'll be happy to speak with you. We normally get together between about 2:13 and 3. We will be talking to Kai for about 20 minutes or 15-20 minutes next hour, and then maybe a surprise at around 2:30. You never know what to expect here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. That's all part of the fun of live talk radio. Turn the dial on, and if there is not a surprise, then you are probably listening to something else. Now, Kai, have you lived in Marion your whole life? I know you told me, but I think you mentioned, like, when you were young.
Yes. So when I was about in fifth grade, the beginning of fifth grade, we moved. My family's originally from Marion, but my dad joined the military, and so we moved around a lot. But then when I was starting fifth grade, we finally came back to Marion and settled back down. So I've been here permanently since about the age of, 10, 11, whenever people start fifth grade.
So you went to school here then?
Yes. I spent a year at Elgin. I graduated from Pleasant. I've just been here, but I've also seen a lot of other communities, so I know the promise that Marion has. I know the potential that it has, and I think that when you're really young and you get to see like what other communities are like, it really puts things in perspective on the things that we need to improve on, but also the things that we do well here.
Of course, in addition to police and fire and emergency squad protection, the schools are an important thing. That you want to be proud of when you live somewhere. You want to feel that we're educating young minds, teaching them to be law-abiding, responsible, and productive adults.
Yeah, from high schools all the way onto our community colleges that we have here. I think that Marion Tech and Ohio State Marion are gems to the community. I think that it's important that we continue to work with them, and we because those are creating good jobs around here, and if we can get those young families to settle down in Marion, that's just more development that you'll see in Marion.
Of course, the school board and the the city council are separate. Do you work at all together with the school board? Like, we didn't really cover that last time. How much of an interaction is there, and how much of an influence do you think just the actual city government has in keeping our schools great?
I think so. City council rarely interacts with the school board. I think we've worked on something that involves the schools just a handful of times. I mean like two or three times, and that's really it. I think that our mayor has a better has a more working relationship with like the superintendent and things like that, but they don't cross paths very frequently. And you know, my perspective on it is I think that it's important that we have elected officials that are as you know involved as possible in things, because you know, like the city schools, they're a staple of the community, and when they do well, everyone does well.
Of course, Mayor Schertzer was a teacher.
Yeah, and I think that probably helps out probably the community or the connection with the schools, as well as kind of understanding what the you know the day to day is.
I think
them.
It is helpful too, because public schools can get a bad rap, and you know, as a taxpayer, I want my taxes to be used wisely, and I love paying taxes to support schools and support police, but I want them used properly. So you think we have a good school system here, especially compared, I mean, say Chillicothe, Zanesville, Newark, cities of a similar size?
I think that we're improving, and I think that we're getting a lot better from as time goes on. I think that the Marion City school system offers a lot of resources and a lot of opportunity that maybe even 15 years, 20 years ago they didn't, through different work programs and things like that. That the Marion City Schools, I think, they're certainly getting they're certainly moving in the right direction.
They're asking you some tough questions, aren't we? You never really know when you get on the Adam the Computer Guy program what Adam is going to throw your way. But I think it's important, Kai, that we talk about what's going on in Marion and the interactions too. Among your fellow city council people, are any teachers or former teachers or in law enforcement? I don't know much about the other. I know Josh Daniels, but the other members.
Yeah, I know Kathy Swong, who represents the 6th Ward, so kind of the chateau and surrounding area, is a former teacher. I believe that is it. If I'm wrong, I apologize, but I think that is it in terms of former teachers. I know Mike Thomas is a veteran. Fosnaw worked in the medical field. And then I'm unsure about, I think the others are currently working in other jobs as well.
Now, you have aspirations to be a lawyer, if I'm not mistaken, or work in the legal profession in some capacity.
You know, I'd like to get involved in the legal system some way or another. I'm not really sure what form that'll take. Still got a little bit of time, but, you know, I think that really my main goal is just to help Marion and benefit the community. And, you know, whatever form that may take, whatever form of law, whatever job that may take, at the end is a year or two from now.
And many politicians, especially in high-ranking office, have been lawyers. Mike DeWine, of course, a former mayor, Mike Coleman of Columbus. Most of our recent presidents, Obama, for example, are lawyers. Do you think that's a good occupation if you want to go high up in politics? I mean, I like the idea of someone in law enforcement or a veteran. We had Eisenhower, along with Trump, the only presidents who didn't have formal political experience, but Eisenhower was a general, had a lot of military experience. Are those useful items to have on your resume? Even just to be the mayor of a small town is being a lawyer or helpful, or maybe being in the military or a current teacher or a police officer? Might that even be a little more helpful?
I think they all have their benefits. I think that with the legal background, you kind of have a better understanding for the ins and outs, you know, to the policy. It helps you understand the policy a little bit better. How does government work? How do you get grants and things like that? But I also think that there's benefits to military experience, and I think that there's benefits to working in law enforcement. I don't think that there should be a cookie cutter, one size fits all answer for how we pick our leaders and how we pick our elected officials. You know, I think that really one of the things that benefited me the most was my bachelor's degree in being on city council, which is in political science, and because I think that really helped me hit the ground running, where a lot of new candidates have that learning curve. I kind of knew where to start at from the very beginning, and that helped us get a lot done over the last year and a half.
Political science, Kai, that's one of those field you get educated in, a liberal arts, where you say, well, what can I do with the degree? There are many things. It can be a stepping stone to being an attorney or possibly to going into politics. Now, you as a young politician, you have the BS in political science. Has that benefited you? Have you? Of course, you learn things on the job, but is what you learned in the textbook and from your lectures, is that really what happens when you sit down in that chair at a council meeting?
It depends on the class that you're taking to a degree. Some stuff you're talking about theory, where, like, you know, it's one of those classes that you just have to take to graduate, like political leadership. And if the first thought that should come to your mind is whatever that means. That doesn't really pop up as much. But, you know, there are some things that, you know, do convert very well. And I think that, you know, when you're getting that degree, you're probably interning or working for different groups that will let you get a good feel for how everything actually works, so that way you're not this new elected official that takes, say, 6 months to figure out the ropes. I was able to step in and just get to work right away. I knew who to go to, what forms to file, what how to pass legislation, how to, you know, I there wasn't that learning curve for me.
Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, speaking with Kai Mead, a local politician here in Marion, taking your calls. 740-383-WWGH. Questions, comments, suggestions, they're all welcome. So the political science education, Kai, we didn't really discuss this last time, and this is a intriguing point to ponder. It's a little like, but a little unlike, going to a police academy, where you learn, again, how to use a weapon properly, how to arrest somebody, how to detain somebody, even how to book someone for a crime, proper courtesy. I mean, how do you pull someone over even for a stop sign or other minor violation, versus how do you handle if there's a very serious situation. But with political science, you do learn the theory, but nothing really beats sitting down in that chair with your fellow 8 council people.
Absolutely. And I guess I would caveat everything I've said with when I was getting that bachelor's degree, I knew that I was probably going to end up in law school. And then if I wasn't in law school, I was going to go try to get a doctorate in economics. Well, go to grad school first, obviously, and then just keep going for economics. It was going to be one or the other for me, and I chose law school.
So your aspirations then 10 years down the road, I mean, I would imagine still be in politics, maybe a little higher up. I mean, who knows, mayor, governor, president.
We'll see. President. Let's get through this council race.
12 years to be president, but we'll see. But is, as a day job, you do want to be Kai Mead, attorney at law? Is that still kind of up in the air?
You know, we'll have to see how everything goes. You know, I just want to keep serving the community. I wanted to keep, you know, bringing resources to the First Ward and helping out the city of Marion in any way I can. You know, I think that the legal profession will help make it even just make me an even stronger person to fight for the city of Marion. And in what capacity, I'm not really sure yet. But, you know, we'll have to see how opportunity knocks.
Yeah, we shall see. Let's keep him in suspense just a little bit. Adam here on The Talking Place with local councilman Kai Mead. Now, Kai, you mentioned the next election, which can be a fun time or a stressful time. So tell us about the next election, and who might your competitor or competitors be?
Yeah, I have a write-in opponent. I will let him campaign for himself, but I'm excited for this election. You know, at the end of the day, I think that in politics, people kind of sometimes get their ego too much into it, and that was one of the things that I was really focused on trying to avoid. I really wanted to just do the best job I could, you know, start these cleanups, get streets repaved, get our first responders resources, and, you know, you're working for the taxpayers. It's not about you as the individual. And so I think that, you know, the voters will make their decision come November, and we'll see where they stand. It's not something that I'm looking to dreading. I think that, you know, we've done a really good job, and but we'll see in November.
So the election is just 4 months away. So it's because they're already talking about the governor election in 2022.
I know
people don't realize that it's not till next year, and it's already, I wouldn't say bloodbath, but it's getting a little ugly.
Yeah, and the candidates are coming out of the woodwork for 2022 way earlier than I remember.
And so you have a write-in candidate. The other wards and the at-large people, how much competition is there for their job?
I I believe everyone other than Jason Schauber in the third ward has some form of an opponent. And then for at-large, the way the at-large system works is when you go vote, you pick two, and the highest three vote-getters are on the at-large, and there's, I think, four total candidates right now, four at-large, and so there's a little bit of competition in the at-large races as well. It's not a full slate, but I think that people will still have a choice to make in that race.
So it will be one that we want people to vote and learn about your candidates. And every candidate has his or her good and bad points in the experience, how they stand on the issues, and do you feel good chemistry with the person? Do they make you feel like they're proud to serve and that they are proud to live here and they work for you?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's really important is to be wary of that person that says, like, if you just elect me, I alone on council can fix every issue. Because we're a legislative body, so at the end of the day, a lot of these things they have to go through, they have to get enough votes to pass. And one of the things that I try to stress to voters is, you know, we will not agree on every single issue, but at the end of the day, I want you to know that I'm doing my best to make the first ward better and, you know, fight for you as the voter. You're not going to find a candidate who honestly agrees with every single voter on every single issue because, you know, there's some things that we just disagree on. But at the end of the day, I'm doing my best and I'm working as hard as I can to make sure that the first ward has proper representation.
And that's where I think in city government we look at the stuff, Kai, that no one I know is against. We want good trash pickup. We want good roads. We want to be safe. We want a good police department and a fair police department. And I think we have that here. There are certainly some suburbs, you know, that have a reputation where if you go 1 mile over the speed limit or you don't stop for 5 seconds at a stop sign, they'll pull you over. I mean, they don't do that in there. I'm not telling people to run a stop sign. But again, we are reasonable here. If you drive 45 in a 25 zone, you will get pulled over and ticketed, and I think you should be.
Yeah, and I think that there's sometimes there's a good point made about like a specific police reform that needs to happen somewhere, not in Marion. But I think it's also important that we talk about the police forces that are actually doing a very good job. And Marion's Police Department has done an excellent job. They continue to do great things. They continue to work in the community. And I think that their accomplishments and their work ethic should be applauded.
Yeah, when Jay and Matt have been on with Scott, you get a good feeling. They just seem like they're one of us, but also very knowledgeable. And that's what we like. We want to feel like that the police chief is part of the community. You know, when we were kids, we were told a policeman's your friend. And many adults kind of change their opinion, but I believe police officers are your friend. And I have modified my opinion in the last 10 years with all the police controversy and just rethinking my values. I'm pro-law enforcement. I understand there are bad apples in every bunch, including the police department. But it's a difficult job. And it's a heroic effort that police officers, whenever they put the badge on and the uniform and wear the gun, every day they go out.
Yeah,
they are heroes.
I was going to say, I just saw something on Facebook from the Marion Police Department where they're doing a citizens police academy or citizens police training where they kind of give you a snapshot of the things that they go through from just all kinds of topics. And so if you're interested, it's always... I think they have the sign up on their Marion Police Department Facebook page. I don't know if as a council member I can do it, but I'm thinking about doing it just to get involved. I think that elected officials are always just better off the more experiences that they have, the more that they're able to put themselves in other people's shoes, and so I think that it'll be a good time and well worth it.
Yeah, we want the police to feel part of the community. Many times people feel, well, they're just, it's kind of us against them. But when you need one, police officer should certainly be there. And so we kind of build that assessment of law enforcement and other city services. We may not see the police officers on a regular basis like we see the garbage men. We know they come Thursday morning. They'll be here. The garbage will be taken out, and that's all wonderful. And we applaud their work as they're heroes also as they go out in all weather. And we certainly in this area always do a good job, so we applaud that. And police officers, you see them on the street, you see them in their cars, and you read about them. You might hear about someone you know being on the good or bad side of law enforcement. And it's just all part of this matrix that we have.
Yeah,
living in a city.
And I think anytime we talk about first responders, we also have to bring up the firefighters that do a great job in Marion. One of the things that I posted about yesterday on Facebook when I was talking about first responder resources is I think that the fire department should put up a levy and let the voters decide on whether or not they should get a new firehouse at Station 1. It's a over 100-year-old building. I'm sure that they would let you go tour it. There's hoof marks on the walls and on the doors from when they used to use horses to pull their equipment. So and there's other problems with the building as well. But you know, at the end of the day, I think that it's important that we give the firefighters the resources they need to, but it's up to the voters, and I hope that the firefighters do go forward and try to get that levy on board, and then we'll see how the community stands on it.
I think we need that because with a building that old, what happens if something, it gets damaged? I mean, we get winds here, and buildings just crumble in time, that many things can happen. Then we have an emergency. So now is the time to act.
And Station 1 is in the, I think, just about the heart of downtown. And so, and you got to think that if something, God forbid, ever happens downtown, they're the first ones to respond. And so we need them at their best and having the equipment that they need to do their job.
Do you think that we can accomplish that? Is it, how serious, and I've heard this brought up before, and how serious of an issue is it? And what can you do as a councilman to get the ball rolling in the right direction?
Well, from a council position, really what you can do is just publicly support it and push it. And if they do get it on the ballot, I will knock doors for them and try to help them out. Just because, again, I think it's so important that these first responders have the resources they need to do their jobs properly. I believe that before I was on council, like just a couple months, something had went through council to try to get one on the ballot, and it might have just been a measure of support or something like that, and it got voted down at the time. I think that it's not really council's place to decide whether or not they get that new firehouse. I think it's up to the voters, and so if the fire department says we'd like to put this levy on the ballot and see how the voters feel about it, who am I as a council member to get in the way of that?
Do you think it would pass? People don't like the idea their taxes are going up, but taxes are an investment. And if my taxes go up because we're getting a nice new firehouse that'll be safer for the firefighters and for us when we need them, well, how can I vote against that? Who would vote against that?
And I think that at the end of the day, really what these kind of things come down to is making sure that it's not the issue of their tax dollars being spent. I think it's an issue of making sure that their tax dollars are spent wisely and making sure that they trust that their dollars are going to efficient places and being spent in ways that the community can support. And so I think that there is a good chance, not an overwhelming chance that it passes, but I think that at the end of the day, it's up to the voters.
Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, about 53 minutes after 1 in the p.m. I'd say it's a rainy day, but again, every time I look out the window, the weather is a little bit different. So whatever the weather is, some mixture of clouds and rain and wind, temperatures 80 to 85-ish. On this 8th of July, I hope you're having a spectacular early afternoon. Kai Mead in the studio with me, a city council member who is up for re-election in about 12 weeks or so, discussing what's going on here in the city and a bit about his background and visions for this great area that we live in and work in, Marion, Ohio. Taking your telephone calls, 740-383-9944. We're going to be back with Kai also for a little bit at the top of the next hour. Now, when we were on last time, Kai, we also talked about many topics, because you never know what I'm going to ask you when I'm sitting across from you, but that's all part of the fun of live radio. We talked about this small business event that you were spearheading, and how did it go? You know, as a small business owner myself, I certainly am behind promoting all small businesses. That's the American dream, for goodness sakes. So tell us how this small business event went.
Yeah, I think it went very well. At the end of the day, what we're trying to do is just bring people to spend those dollars that they might spend otherwise for Father's Day weekend out supporting small businesses locally. You know, And we're doing it in a way that doesn't cost tax dollars. And so we're doing it in a way that, you know, is really just a grassroots support. And then we let the citizens decide where they'd like to put their hard-earned dollars for small businesses, instead of letting me as an elected official or any other elected official decide who gets what. I think that when you allow the people to decide, you get the best outcomes.
I would say let people make their decision because, you know, money talks. Would you like to see these small business appreciation events take place all over the area? Do you think Marion can be a role model for, again, not just the surrounding towns, but the cities I would compare Marion to that are a similar size, Newark, Zanesville, Chillicothe, Springfield, et cetera, cities in that population range, 25,000 to 75,000. Can it benefit? Again, obviously it could benefit Cincinnati and Columbus, but they're large, and it might be more of a neighborhood type event. But in cities the size of Marion, where we can do it for the entire city and get people out, get people to know about these great small businesses.
Yeah, I would love to see it expanded to any other communities, to maybe, you know, statewide, who knows. I'd like to see it expanded as much as possible. These small business owners, they're not these super wealthy people that you'll never see. They're your neighbors. They're your kids go to school with their kids. They're members of the community, and they help out the community. They're the first to donate to all kinds of things, whether it's fundraisers, whether it's drives or charity events and things like that. They care about the community. They want to build a better Marion. They want to build a better whatever neighborhood they're in. So I think it's important for us to support them when we can.
And you've done a great job of spearheading it. And any plans for the next event? Will this be yearly or more than one time a year? What kind of plans did you have to make this a recurring event?
Marion has a lot of small business events. For instance, like the Third Thursday events that take place downtown. I would like this to be a yearly thing, the Small Business Weekend, just so that we can continue to build on it from year to year. This was the second year that we did it. And then next year, one of the things that I'd like to, that we're tentatively considering is getting together with one of these more blue collar, like the factories that are around, and maybe supplying like a tour or something like that, just so people can see, you know, that what the jobs are in Marion, and what's being done in Marion, you know, and really see how people are providing and things like that, just so people can really understand that Marion is growing and there are things going on in Marion. Hopefully these types of events will spotlight that.
We are speaking with Kai Mead here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program on The Talking Place. Kai will be back with us next hour, so in about 14-15 minutes we will return with more of my questions that can, of course, be a bit surprising at times, and just perspectives on how things are going in Marion. And again, taking your telephone call, 740-383-WWGH. Now, today is Thursday, the 8th of July. 3 weeks from today, on the last Thursday of the month, like we do every last Thursday of the month, James Anderson, the official naturalist for this radio station, a personable guy who is a walking encyclopedia on every animal or plant that you could possibly find in Mid-Ohio. He will be sitting in the same chair that Kai is sitting in 3 weeks on the Glenn Coble radio program between about 10:13 a.m. and noon. 3 weeks from today, July 29th, discussing, again, the wildlife events at the Tallgrass Trail and other natural locations, I guess, here in the Marion area, events that he's been hosting. Of course, he will take your questions like he does every week. If you were wondering what kind of an animal you might have seen outside your door earlier in the morning, or wondering what kind of plant is growing, or if a certain animal or plant is poisonous, he will be able to answer that for you, and I can assure you this guy is a walking encyclopedia of that kind of stuff. Plus, we always have a good time. A little bit of humor injected into a radio program always makes for a fun event. So again, join Glenn and James 3 weeks from today, 10, 12 a.m. to 12 p.m. That is about 12 minutes after 10 in the a.m. until noon, much better, on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Adam here, and if you'd ever like to send me an email, I would love to hear from you, even if you just want to say, hi, Adam, how are you doing? Thank you for a great program. Feel free to email me, and we have a private email server, as I mentioned, just like Hillary and Melania, adam@wwgh1071.com. If you ever miss a program on the station, go to our website, wwgh1071.com, to listen on demand. Talk to you next hour. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.